Here comes Adrian Peterson, his first carry. Sips up the middle, makes a man miss at the 25. Skips out to the right, and he's loose! Adrian Peterson inside the 20, touchdown!
It's X's and O's with Leslie Frazier on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Now, live from Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Hey, what's going on? Indeed, it's Paul Allen off the Lions' loss into the Bears game. Super excited to watch our favorite team get back in action this weekend from Soldier Field against the 1-0 Chicago Bears. Indeed, this is X's and O's with Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. Wide receivers coach George Stewart is coming up a little later. Sorry about the loss at Detroit, Leslie. It's only one. You still got 15 to go. Did you have to walk around the locker room after the game? Because there were some long faces after that game, and I was looking at some people privately saying, we do have 15 left, right? Did you notice that?
Yeah, and that's part of it. I mean, there was a lot of disappointment with that ball game, but there's a lot of football to be played, and you know, we get a chance to line up this week against a very good football team in their home venue, so you got to move on.
When you played for the Bears, did you love playing for the Bears at Soldier Field, Mike Ditka, just the whole Bears aura?
Yeah, it was a good place to play. The fans were great. It was a good place to play at Soldier Field.
When you watched back all the film from the Lions game, offense, defense, special teams, the whole thing, is there anything you feel you left on the table? Like you look back and you leaned back in your chair and said, geez, if only we had just done this.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things you'd like to do different anytime you don't win the ball game. But in this league, you know, you got to move on. And I talked to our team about that. You know, we got to learn from that situation in order to go on and be better this next week.
The 78-yard touchdown to start the season, we just heard the highlight. It was the sidelines were unbelievable. Mm. Everybody was going nuts. That's the good news. The better news is you took the lead. The bad news is that the defense had to come back out on the field. Then some three and outs and some four-play series, including the punts. Defense got tired, right?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, we couldn't put together any first downs. And then we end up putting them on some short fields. But, you know, we still had our opportunities and we didn't capitalize, especially before the half. So we didn't do some things we needed to do to win that ball game.
How were the guys into the game? Were they nervous? You have a nice blend here of some veterans, but some very talented younger players. Adrian's kind of right in the middle.
Yeah.
How were they into the game? Did you feel they were mentally fit to go out there and give their best?
I did. I thought we came out and played with a lot of energy. We just, we didn't execute as well as we needed to, and it cost us.
You think the Bears are going to try to gouge you in the screen game off what we just saw in the Lions game, or do things change dramatically week to week, Leslie?
No, I would think it's a copycat league, Paul, and I would think we'd see a lot of screens in this ball game. We're going to have to defend them a lot better than we did, especially with our pass rush. You know, we expected that against Detroit. We didn't handle it very well. I would think that Chicago would do the same thing.
And Leslie, with Matthew Stafford, I think one of the underrated things about him is how quickly he gets rid of the ball. I mean, I'm sure you have this opinion, but for an outsider like me, you know, he only got sacked 29 times last year, and he had 727 attempts, most in the history of the NFL. So you come into the game looking at the right side of the Lions' offensive line, and you're like, okay, here we go. But then you leave it and watch it back, realizing, wow, Matthew gets rid of the ball quickly, doesn't he?
And the system that they ran on that day against us, I mean, a lot of screens, a lot of, you know, check downs to the backs out of the backfield, throwing to the tight ends on screen. So they weren't going to let us rush the quarterback. So, you know, they took a different approach, and, you know, we have to be able to combat that when teams do it.
Good for Josh Robinson. You know more about his overall game than me. You know, nobody's perfect, but he had some shaky moments in the preseason with angles and missed tackles and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought Josh was terrific in this Lions game.
Yeah, he played very well for us. He really stepped up and did a good job all the way through. So that was very, very encouraging as we go forward.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is X's and O's with Leslie Frazier. You can find us every Wednesday night. Are the Lions and Bears similar, Leslie, in that they have that high-low thing? Like Detroit, Calvin deep, Reggie and Joik Bell underneath. Chicago, Brandon Marshall down the field, maybe Alshon Jeffery, Matt Forte underneath.
Very similar in their approach, and they've got a quarterback who can definitely make the throws. But yes, they want to take it downfield to Marshall, and they're going to target him a lot, much like Detroit does with Calvin, and you know, get it underneath to Matt Forte, who's very good after yards after the catch. So we'll have our hands full for sure.
How did Xavier Rhodes debut, Leslie?
you know, I like the things that Xavier did. He played well. You know, he had a big task at times having to, you know, cover Calvin, and I thought he held his own pretty good.
And now, was it a situation where they opted to stay underneath and in the middle of the field and not go deep, or was some of that taken away by Chris Cook and or Xavier Rhodes?
There were times we took some things away, but their game plan was to throw the ball underneath and not give us a chance to, you know, rush down the field. So it rushed the quarterback. So, you know, they did a good job. They had a good game plan.
What about Sharif Lloyd in his debut? I thought it was interesting in the Monday press conference the way you broke things down. For those who missed it, you know, you made it sound like he was so dead set on pass rushing that there were other parts of the game that you had to remind him, you know, that this happens and this happens. And on that, you know, if you watch back that Reggie Bush 77-yard screen touchdown, Sharif was right there. I thought he could knock the ball away maybe. Right.
Yeah, he did some good things in the ball game, but you could tell at moments that there was his first action in quite a while, but he made some good plays at certain times. But just being able to recognize when it was run or pass and just paying attention to his keys is something he'll get better at, but there were moments in that ball game where he was a little off a little bit on some of the things he needed to be able to recognize.
And he was filling in for Kevin Williams, one of the greatest players in the history of this organization. What's Kevin's status off Wednesday's practice? What do you expect for this weekend?
We expect to have him on the field. He had a good day on Wednesday.
Excellent.
And, you know, we want to put together back-to-back days, but so far, so good.
Your quarterback, Christian Ponder, do you think he needs to play more loosely sometimes? Just loosen up a little bit, maybe shake it off?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't hurt at the quarterback position to just let it go and enjoy the experience of being an NFL quarterback. But Christian will continue to grow in that position, and yeah, that probably is not a bad thing.
How does that happen, going from being a little robotic with A, having to go to B, to C, to D, to just shaking it off? And if you make a mistake of aggression, you make a mistake of aggressiveness, and you live to play another series, right?
Yeah, and I think he's grown in that area. He's gotten a lot better with just putting a bad play behind him and going on to the next play, and that's just a part of the maturation at that position.
Mark Trestman, St. Louis Park native, the new head coach for the Chicago Bears. What kind of offense does he run, Leslie?
You know, they've changed their offense a little bit from what they were under Lovie Smith. They're more of a spread offense. You know, you can see Jay in the shotgun a little bit more, and now we only have the one game to go off of, and that was their game a week ago, but yeah. It seems like they want to throw the ball a little bit more than they have in the past.
You'd know more about it than me, but in watching back the TV copy of the Bears and the Bengals, it seemed in the first half that it took Chicago a while to try to get that thing going, try to find cohesiveness and confidence, and it was almost like they would throw it to Brandon Marshall to kind of bail out situations. Did you notice that, and do you think it's just the learning curve with a new offense and a new coach?
I think so. I think there was a learning curve going on with their new system on a new play caller for the quarterback, and there were moments they would fall into just, where's Brandon so he can bail us out, and
right.
That's more what they were a year ago, and that did show up some in the first half, but then they began to spread it around a little bit and get some other guys involved, and they got it rolling in the second half.
You guys unveiled the pistol formation at Detroit. Pete Bursich, more importantly, Pete Bursich, not me, tried to explain it during the call of the game. But from the pistol formation, what strengths can a team gain from that set?
Well, some teams on defense, they'll take a look at where the back is aligned. They can set their fronts based off of where the back is.
Mm-hmm.
They can set up their pressures based on where the back is. And you get an idea where the ball most likely will be run based on where the back is lined up. So now when you put the guy directly behind the center and behind the quarterback as well,
yep.
And the quarterback's in the shotgun, it makes it a little bit tougher for a defense and how they want to set up some of the things they're doing from a defensive standpoint.
So I would think that it's there to freeze the linebackers and or safeties, make them think twice, but maybe it's more designed to slow a defensive end, correct?
It can be, but in particular, your linebackers as well as even your safety sometimes, when they're trying to get a read based on where the back lines up at, that's going to determine what's going to happen sometimes on offense. But the pistol, you know, having that guy, the quarterback in the shotgun and the back directly behind him, kind of takes some of that away.
Did you guys miss Jerome Felton last Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, Jerome's one of our better players, a Pro Bowl player. Anytime you don't have a Pro Bowler on the field, it makes a difference.
Everything squared away with Matt Khalil. Are you at all concerned about his preseason and his first game, or do you think he's playing okay?
I think there's a, you know, he's not playing where he wants to be, nor where we want him to be. So, but there's some things that we can correct, and we will get them corrected, and this is a good week to get it done.
Was the rookie punter at all nervous into the first game?
I would imagine so. You know, your first NFL start on the road, so I would imagine there would have been some jitters there.
But his hold was okay for the 52-yarder. Blair Walsh, knock on wood here, 11 for 11 from 50-plus. For the way your team's constructed, having that battery, again, knock on wood, the way it is now, that's fantastic.
Oh, no question. I mean, it's such a luxury for us to know when we have 50-plus-yard kicks that it's no different sometimes than a 30-yard kick. We're fortunate in that way.
With some of the rules that have been changed in the NFL over the last couple of years, Leslie, specifically the kickoff rules and the wedges and everything, do you feel at times that there are too many touchbacks in the NFL? I mean, every single kick was sailing out of the end zone.
Well, that kickoff return, that's an exciting play in the National Football League. And the way it is now, you know, the competition committee is very concerned about player safety, and that kickoff out of the end zone is kind of taking the kickoff return out of the game.
Right.
And that's, you know, one of the plays that you kind of like to see as a fan, and but it's making it tougher.
So when Cordero comes out from 8 or 9 deep, are you okay with that?
We are. I mean, when those opportunities are there, we want to bring it out. It's just becoming more like what you just said, more and more getting kicked out of the end zone.
Leslie, describe Chicago's defense. We're so used to Brian Urlacher dropping back in that Tampa 2 with those long arms,
right,
looking around, taking away half the field like Deion used to do. Mm-hmm. Is their defense any different?
Not a whole lot other than, you know, Brian not being there in the middle. DJ Williams now is the middle linebacker, and he's doing a good job for him. But the system itself, it seems that Mel Tucker, their defensive coordinator, has a lot of carryover from what they've done in the past. And they're still counting on their two corners to create turnovers and get the ball out of people's hands. But the system itself seems like there's a lot of carryover from what they were doing before.
Last one, speaking of those corners, one is 32-year-old Charles Peanut Tillman. Just still such a tough player year after year, isn't he?
Yeah, boy, he creates a lot of havoc for your team. The pick he made last week to score off of a turnover with Andy Dalton and A.J. Green, just he's a great player. He does a terrific job of getting the ball turned over, and we'll have to always be aware of him on Sunday.
And Julius Peppers locked up with a backup left tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals, and maybe for the first time in his career did not show up on the stat sheet. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Sacks, tackles, TFLs, nothing. How did Julius play in that game against Cincinnati?
He did some good things, but they took a different approach there in Cincinnati as well. I mean, they were going with a lot of quick passes. They didn't allow those guys to really rush, and it was effective to a point. You know, he's a guy you always got to have an answer for. He's a great player.
Best of luck this weekend, and thanks for the conversation.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach for the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm Paul Allen. Celebrate the return of Vikings football. Kick off the 2013 NFL season with the Minnesota Vikings Back to Football 5K Run presented by Twin Cities Orthopedics. It's Saturday, September 21st in downtown Minneapolis. It's a day in front of the home opener against the Cleveland Browns. If you're looking for more information, visit Vikings.com/run. Once again, it's the Vikings and the Bears this weekend at noon. Pregame on the flagship begins at 10, and on the Vikings Radio Network, the pregame kicks off at 11 o'clock. When we return, we will talk about the Vikings wide receiver stable. Jerome Simpson, Greg Jennings, Cordarrelle Patterson, Jarius Wright, and Joe Webb with loquacious wide receivers coach George Stewart. I'm Paul Allen. This is X's and O's on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. X's and O's continues on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Make sure to join me and Paul Charchi on Friday morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Apple Valley. It's the Friday Football Feast. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com and on my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. Joining us now is Minnesota Vikings wide receivers coach George Stewart. Sorry about the loss over the weekend. What was your take on the game?
Paul, we had opportunities, obviously. The Lions gave us some opportunities. We gave them opportunities back as well. A hard-fought football game, but the Lions played better than we did.
Were you happy with the way your guys played for the most part as receivers coach?
For the most part, we had some guys play extremely well, but at the end of the day, it's a loss, Paul, and our guys played hard.
Let's begin with Jerome Simpson. You and I talked a lot about him last year into the Lions game at Ford Field.
Yes.
He had four catches for 50 yards. A couple of big ones at the end, both on Bill Bentley, who played last weekend. Then he had that weird foot deal,
right,
pretty much derailing the season. The off offseason obviously was good for him. You identified him. He wanted to come back. It was easy. And lo and behold, 7 catches, 140 yards, Jerome Simpson.
Right. That's a great job by general manager Rick Spielman in terms of re-signing this young man. He played a half the season, most whole of the season, hurt. And he's a healthy Jerome Simpson. That's what we envisioned him being. And he came up big, especially the catch he caught down the middle of the football field.
Do he and Christian Ponder naturally have something that's good? Because I know Greg Jennings got that big guaranteed money bit to come here, and then you draft Cordarrelle Patterson. But we could even see in the preseason last year, specifically in the Buffalo game at home before the suspension, Christian's very comfortable with Jerome Simpson, isn't he?
I think that's a question that probably Christian would answer. But Jerome, in terms of being hurt last year, again, going back, Paul, he has had a great opportunity offseason to get rhythm up with Christian Ponder, and they both have done an outstanding job.
What do you do with Jerome Simpson? Is he identifiable strictly as a deep guy? He had the 44-yard hit, the 47-yard hit, but you can use him in the middle of the field a little bit, can't you?
Yeah, he's done some of those things in terms of shallow crosses. Obviously, screens. He had a screen catch the other day and got 9 yards out of it. He's a good underneath route runner as well because of his speed, but usually, you know, he's a guy that's a deep threat for us, make plays down the football field.
What about Greg Jennings? How's he handling the switch from Green Bay to here?
Oh, he loves it. And just talking to Greg, he's at home. He feels he's at home here. You know, he is a Midwestern guy from Michigan, and he enjoys being a Minnesota Viking.
And is he okay when he leaves a game like he just left with only 3 catches, but it was a loss? And why I bring it up that way, George, right, is because when I talked to Greg in the preseason, and I said, the MVP is the identity of the team.
Right.
You know, you are a Super Bowl winning wide receiver who had a big game in the Super Bowl. He cut me off and said, if we're winning football games, I don't care if I get 1 catch as long as I'm helping and we're winning. Now, if we start to lose games and I'm only getting 1, 2, or 3 catches, then I might have a problem. It's only one, but he doesn't have a problem, does he?
I would say this about Greg Jennings. He has been a great team player. He's been a great teammate in our receiver room. He does a great job with a young player, especially Cordarrelle Patterson. Jerry is right. And just after the ball game on Sunday, have a chance to visit with him. All things are going forward. He is very positive about what we're trying to get done. He is a team man.
George, on Adrian Peterson, 78-yard touchdown run to start the season for you guys offensively. Matt Khalil blocked down, cleaned out about 3 guys.
Right.
Rhett Ellison waited around, nailed somebody. There goes the MVP. God-given ability next makes a guy miss, and there he goes. Any of your receivers have anything to do with that long run that maybe you have to see only on the film you guys watch?
Well, we like to think we did. You know, Jeff Davis, an offensive line coach, great scheme in terms of scheming that thing up for our offense. And you mentioned the receivers. Jerome Simpson was outside, did a nice job on Chris Houston, the corner. And they brought the safety down. And Greg Jennings did an excellent job in terms of blocking the safety. He was able to sustain his block. Adrian ran off his block, had a chance to go a yard with the football. But, again, anytime you have big plays down the field, your receivers have to be involved in it. But offensive line, you mentioned Matt Khalil, did a great job in terms of opening a hole for Adrian.
George, at this stage of Greg Jennings' career, as the route tree goes, what do you think his most preferred or his favorite route would be? Because in Green Bay, he was so identifiable with that deep slant with either Favre or Rodgers. What is it here?
He still can run a deep slant. He's still, I said it in the preseason, he still has the juice, Paul. As we know, Greg is comfortable doing everything. He is a guy that understands concepts, understands a pass tree, understands defensive coverages, and he's going to do a great job for us this coming season.
George Stewart, Vikings wide receivers coach, is on X's and O's. Couple of quickies to close here. Cordarrelle Patterson, 29th overall pick, your first round selection from a wide receiver standpoint. Only 5 plays in the season opener. How did he handle it?
He handled it well. That game was so disjointed from a first play of the game, as you mentioned, Adrian going yard first play. I think we were 3 and out the next 2 series, and it's very hard. And then Jerome playing as well as he played. Of course, they both played the same position, and it was just very hard. It was a disjointed football game to get him involved very much. But the plays he was involved, he did a nice job going in. And as we go forward, you know, you will see more Cordarrelle Patterson.
So if Jerome and Cordarrelle play the same position, how do you get them on the field at the same time?
We have different receiver groups we put on the field, Paul, as you know, and you will have opportunity to see those guys.
And with Cordarrelle Patterson, off the Greg Jennings question, at this stage of his career, George, off the preseason and one Detroit game, is there a favorite route he runs? Is there something with which he's most comfortable?
He is still learning, and as we go through it, he has not found a niche yet, because we have tried to play several folks to give people opportunity to make our football team, but we knew he was going to be here, but he is finding his way, and the thing about him, he does a lot of things extremely well.
What about Jarius Wright? He, by all accounts, was one of the 2, maybe 3 stars of training camp. Then he had that concussion, had to sit out for a little bit.
Right.
Did that slow him?
No, it didn't. You know, the concussion is one that happens in football, happens to a lot of players. And Jairus has bounced back from that. He's 100% according to our trainers and Jairus, and he's going to be fine. We're looking for Jairus Wright to do big things for us as well.
Physically speaking, Jairus looks different. I'm not going to say you'd know more about it than me, George. And then you and I are both 47 years of age or older, even though you just might be 39. He was a little pudgy when I first saw him last year. His body looks different this year than last year. Is that fair?
That is fair. Tom Canavis has done a great job with this young man's body in terms of developing Jairus to a better player. And again, we had a certain play in the ball game on Sunday where Jairus had to come down and block a linebacker. Jairus put him on his back. Mm. And again, it shows the strength training and the progress that Jairus Wright has made in our weight room.
Yeah, in that Bears game last year at Mall of America Field, he put a move on safety Major Wright. Sadly, the quarterback underthrew it. I thought that was the bottom as the season went for the quarterback because it was uphill. It was downhill for Christian from there. But to watch Jairus last year in that Lions game, he gets deep, scores his first touchdown. He had a good game at Mall of America Field against the Bears, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And we're looking for Jairus, like I said, to have a good season for us this year in terms of being a second-year player. He is a leader in our locker room. He's a leader in our team room. And he will do nothing but improve as we go, Paul. And we're looking for him, like I said, to have an outstanding year.
Last one, Joe Webb. I was super glad he made the team. He can do a lot of different things, and most of which we probably haven't even seen yet. How did Joe make the team?
Joe made the team because he is a guy that is coming every week. You know, we see a lot of progress in Joe, a lot of upside in Joe. Joe is that wild card. He has done a great job in our special teams. He's done an excellent job in terms of trying to be that fifth receiver for you. Saw the touchdown catch he made against the 49ers going up and getting off the top shelf.
Yep.
And he has improved in every area. He's continued to get better. He's on the field late today. After we got to practice, he's still working hard. And Joe is a guy that we have great promise for.
You've worked with a lot of high-powered offenses during your career. 15 seconds, you get it all. What is the biggest key in your estimation working with this offensive staff to move the ball against Chicago's defense?
I think the biggest key is just being patient in terms of doing the things that we do best, and that's run the football. As Coach Frazier always said, set the run up and obviously have a chance to throw the ball when we have to. But Adrian Peterson, offensive line, is the key for this football team, and we go as Adrian goes. As old saying, he's the straw that stirs the drink. Adrian is the straw that stirs the drink.
Good luck, George. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much, Paul.
George Stewart, wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings, entered to win an exclusive VIP trip to see the Vikings play at Green Bay, courtesy of Crown Royal Blended Canadian Whiskey. Go to Vikings.com/Crown Royal to enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older. Please drink responsibly. We thank Joe Nelson, Ryan Donaldson, Jay Nelson, and everybody with the Vikings Radio Network and the Vikings Entertainment Network for helping us with X's and O's. And for everybody with the Minnesota Vikings, we remind you the kickoff against the Bears is Sunday at noon, pregame on the flagship at 10, and throughout the radio network at 11. I'm Paul Allen. Thanks for listening to X's and O's on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
I'm Toby Gerhart. You're listening to The Fan.